Who among you have ever said, you know, I just love this? Anybody? You know, when something happens, say, I just love this. And then your spouse surprises you with it later because he or she knows that you love it. Or your parents get you something and they knew that you love it. I mean, it was just, I just love this. And it's not like, I just love whipped cream on pumpkin pie. It's, you know, it's something that you really love and not our cultural love that we stick that word on so many things. But something that's really important that really means something to you, that has a deep significant or triggers a deep significant response on your behalf of really loving whatever it was that your partner has done. Give me some verses back and forth as we talk about how many people know it comes to mind that you can think of where it says God loves X. Anybody? Yes. Okay. Now. Cheerful giver. What about something that God hates? Okay, anybody else? Right. As we look at 2 Corinthians 9, let's start with verse 5. So if you turn there. And as we go through this thing, it really paints an agrarian picture. So how many of you have ever... Hold on. It's convenient being close. How many of you have ever sown seed? Anybody ever hand-sown seed? What kind of seed?
Rye.
Rye? Grass seed? Hand-sown vegetables? Okay, hand-sown something that your life depended on it growing so that you could eat it. Well, you'll still get the picture through here. When you go to and you're going to hand sow seed, whether it's grass seed or, you know, if it's something you're going to eat, do you just walk out and helter-skelter, just throw it wherever you can throw it? I mean, you go and buy the seed and you go, like if we were going to go and plant seed, well, maybe, have y'all just thrown it wherever? Is that what? Usually you have an intent of where the seed should land. And whether it's throwing grass seed or seed that you really need to plant to eat, it's going to be vegetable seed, it's really more intentional. So you wouldn't just go out in the parking lot and throw grass seed, right? I mean, that'd be a waste of time. You wouldn't just go out if you have a garden at home and plant your vegetable seed over here that you haven't tilled the ground and cultivated and take where it has a good opportunity to do something. So kind of keep those pictures in mind as we go through this. As we start reading the scripture. So I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go on ahead to you and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift. Backing up a little bit, the folks had said, yes, we will give to, there's a famine, there's all kinds of things going on, we will contribute to that. So now Paul's writing back saying, okay, you've said you're going to do this, and now here's your opportunity. And arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift so that the same would be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by covetousness. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So you're not just out doing this, throwing it where it doesn't have a chance to go. You're sowing bountifully, and you reap bountifully. Now, this isn't the main part. This is not where we're camping, but while we're here passing through, in verse 6 is a spiritual law. So you can make a note on the side, this is a spiritual law. We can look at stuff in the physical world and see cause and effect. we can look at Scripture and what God has written down for us and say cause and effect in a spiritual sense. And I need, and all of our young ones are back in the back, so I'm just going to do this. No, here, we'll use you. Two magnets. Who can tell me how magnets work? Why? Who knows? I mean, yeah, you say, well, that's interesting, and we can understand the idea behind it. You can even create your own magnet. Get a nail, wrap a wire around it, stick it on a battery. You can create a magnet. Your screwdriver, for the ones of y'all that have done that, oh, I need to reach something, so you get your screwdriver, make a magnet out of it on battery terminals. But as far as the fact that you can have something, then you say, well, there's an attraction there or a repulsion, depending on how the poles were aligned, and we can see something or the effect of something that we can just say, well, I don't know. God made that. I don't know why it does that. Thankfully it does, or we'd float off in outer space. But that's something we can look at and see and say, yep, that works. There's a law there that is involved in this, and we can see the result. And so anyway, as we look at verse 6, we say, well, how does that work? He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. How does that work? Well, I don't know. Yeah. Each one, verse 7, each one must do as he has purposed in his heart, cardia, for any cardiac arrest folks here, has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. The under compulsion means out of constraint or distress. Now I'm going to ask Al a question. Back in the old days, Al used to be one of those that would kick down doors and take your stuff if you didn't fulfill your obligation with the state of Texas, right? Yeah. Okay. When you did that, and you knocked on the door, did people just open up and freely, Al, it's so good to see you and all your friends. Here, put padlocks on this stuff over here. What was their response usually?
They were not happy.
Not happy. Okay. How many of us have kids in here, if you have kids? How many have nieces and nephews that you've been around? Whenever you give a child something and then you say, well, you need to share that with your brother, what's the response normally? I mean, occasionally we get those little glimmers of hope of thank you, God, that they are starting to understand. But normally the response is, and particularly if they're really young, mine, it's mine. And you can coerce them into sharing, into giving some. No, you need to, and as you learn that lesson and pass that on, you know, there's that point that then they start to understand and will share then of their own volition. Kind of put that on your back burner as we read the rest of that verse. For God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful here is happy or hilarious. Several years ago, when we were in Waco, we were involved with an inner city ministry there, and part of the experience, whenever people would come in to have a weekend, it was church, it was kind of patterned after Sojourners, if you're familiar with that, and then is now Church Under the Bridge and some different things up there going on. But we would take people over to one of the other churches on the east side of Waco. Had a little bit different complexion than the rest of us did. And one thing that they would do that was just so great, well, they would take two offerings. But the first offering, the deacons would be standing up front, and they'd have white gloves on, and people would get up, the congregation would come up and come in front of, the deacons would be standing behind the table, and the congregation would come in front of the table and give their offering. and pass through and go and sit back down again. And then they take up a second offering. Music would start playing, people would start clapping and dancing, and they'd pass a plate for a second special offering. Those folks were cheerful givers. I mean, it was an exciting, fun experience of to see and for them to properly understand God loves a cheerful giver. They were participating in what God was doing with a lot more exuberance than what we were used to seeing. God loves a cheerful giver, not like with our children where it might be, oh, all right, kind of an attitude about something. Let's read down in verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Until you've actually been out cutting wheat down and, you know, beating the heads and getting the grain and grinding it up, everything. I don't know, there's something about having an appreciation for everything that's involved in this, but if you have occasion to do that, take advantage of it. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service, this, back up in verse 6, the service he's referring to is the sowing bountifully, is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. It causes praises to God as a result of our sowing bountifully. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. The main thing I want to kind of lay all that out is, Barbara mentioned there's a thing that God hates. And as we have something, or we find out something that we know that a loved one of ours loves or hates, we naturally respond in a way that either reinforces or not. If our loved one has something that they absolutely hate, then it's like, well, I don't want to do that because they hate that. Or they have something that I know that sis loves, having the yard mowed. I want to do that because she loves the way it looks when the yard's mowed. The Malachi 2:16, and I'll just read it, it says, "For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel, and him who covers his garment with wrong, says the Lord of hosts. So take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously." The 2 Corinthians verse that we read is so clear on something that we know that God loves. And again, I'm not stressing the point that you need to be giving. You know, we need more money in the coffers. We have things we want to do. We want to hire a nursery worker. We want to paint the building or build another one or, you know, whatever. That's not the point. That's not what we're stressing. It's not that you need to be giving. It's that when you give, you do it cheerfully because God loves it. Whatever it is, that you're in a position that if you look right at verse 7, the first part, for he has purposed in his heart. It's something that you and God have wrestled with, have talked about, come to grips with, and you're not doing it because you have to pay your taxes. Oh, it's April 15th. Oh, shoot. I mail it in. There you go. It's not that kind of response. Whether it's giving or not, whether it's something else in Scripture where we know that what God's will is, our response is whatever that is, it just so happens here that it involves giving. We want to be in a position of saying, You know, Scripture is pretty clear. God loves something. Gee, man, I've been bought with a price. In response to that, I want to do whatever it is that I know that God loves. The point I want to get across is our loving obedience to whatever it is. Here, it's addressed as giving. Be in a position where you're responding to God as, gosh, you love this. I want to do this because you love it. Just like you do with someone in your family that you love. You do it as a response. Here it's giving. We should be giving so that we can solicit a response, if nothing else. In verse 12, for the ministry of this service, the sowing bountifully, is that many thanksgivings are given to God. People praise God because of that. That's a result. Our cause over here is our response is, God, I love you. Thank you so much for what Jesus Christ did on my behalf. What do you love? I want to do that because you love it. So that's the thing, is when we look through Scripture, that we do something about it. We're not just hearers only. We look at it and say, huh, there's something God hates. I don't want to do that. Well, there's something God loves. I want to do that. Out of response. We look at it and say, what's God's will? Well, one portion of God's will that Scripture tells us is to believe in His Son. I want to do that because God's will is that. So it's the same thing in any relationship. Just be thinking in terms of how do we respond to the relationship that we have with our loving Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you have recorded Scripture. You preserved it by your Spirit through the ages. So many times we can even hear in conversations people say, well, Jesus wants you to do this or do that, or God wants you to be this. Lord, we can look at this verse this morning and see something that you have written down, that you've preserved, that your Spirit has given to Paul and he's recorded, something that you love. And Father, I just pray that we would grow in our relationship with you in obedience, in response to the love that you've first shown us, that whatever it is, we would be seeking to respond to that because we know you love it. Thank you for the relationship that we're joint heirs with Christ because of the faith and trust put in what he has done for us. Thank you for the opportunities, even this last week, whether it's CEF or Wilderness Ridge or people that we have coffee with, where the gospel has been shared. And Father, I pray for the week ahead that we would have opportunity, that we would see the opportunity that you give us to tell someone about how much you love us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn.